Welcome in, everybody. Today we're going to do a deep dive into something pretty cool, ecological gardening.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
So we're talking about how to create a garden that's not just nice to look at,
Right.
it actually flourishes, works with nature.
Yeah, thrives.
So whether you're a beginner or you've been gardening for a while and just want to kind of like try this new sustainable approach,
Yeah.
we're going to cover it all today.
Absolutely.
To guide us, we've got a bunch of great sources. We've got a guide from the Native Plant Trust, an article that's focused on growing food,
Cool.
and some tips from Kaw Valley Greenhouses on choosing native plants.
Awesome.
So kind of our mission here today is to give you guys, the listeners, the core principles and practical steps to not just start an ecological garden, but really make it thrive.
Exactly. Yeah.
So let's just jump right in. Why is ecological gardening more than just like a fad?
Well, it's about understanding, I think, the power we have as gardeners to really impact, the biodiversity around
Yeah.
us. One of the sources that we were looking at quoted Douglas Tallamy, who is, kind of a big name in this area, and he says that gardeners really can make a difference.
Brown.
Our gardens are mini ecosystems. They're connected to this, big web of life.
That's so cool to think about. Like, we can create this habitat
Yeah.
for all sorts of creatures right in our own backyards.
Exactly.
So how do we actually do that? Like, how do we create that thriving habitat?
Yeah, there's five, we kind of broke it down into five key pillars of ecological gardening.
Ooh, five pillars. That's a solid foundation.
Yeah.
What's the first one we got to build on?
Well, first you got to start with sustainable gardening, right?
Okay.
And that's all about minimizing both, the stuff that we take from the environment and the waste that we create.
So it's all about like being mindful of what we put in and what we take out.
Exactly.
Does that mean no more like store-bought fertilizers
Yeah.
or those giant bags of yard waste?
It's about kind of, imagine taking a Hippocratic oath as gardeners.
I love that.
First, do no harm, right?
Right.
Working smarter, not harder. Composting, mulching, choosing those plants that don't need as much intervention.
I love that analogy. Like, we're taking an oath to protect our gardens.
Yeah.
So, okay, we've talked about sustainability. What about soil health?
Ah, soil health, the foundation of it all, right?
Yes.
Healthy soil equals healthy plants.
Yeah.
It's like this bustling city of microorganism, breaking
Us.
down the organic matter, transforming it into like readily available plant food.
So those leaves that I'm like religiously raking up every fall,
Yes.
those are actually good.
They are gold. They are like nature's slow release fertilizer,
Wow.
delivering nutrients right to your soil all throughout the
Oh
seasons.
my gosh.
And they provide a nice, cozy habitat for the beneficial insects and insulate the soil.
It's like win, win, win.
Exactly.
Wow, I'm already looking at my garden so differently. So we've got sustainability, we've got soil health. What's the third pillar?
Water-wise gardening, we got to talk about water, right?
Yeah.
Especially now, with all the concerns about water scarcity and drought.
Right. And native plants are the stars of the show here.
Yes.
They're used to our climate. They don't need as much water once they're established.
Exactly.
It's like they read the instruction manual for our region.
Yeah, they've evolved, over centuries to thrive in your specific conditions.
I've always loved the look of those water features. You know, those ponds and rain gardens?
Yeah.
Do those count as ecological gardening?
They totally do. It's not just about the looks.
Okay.
It's about attracting wildlife and managing all that stormwater runoff.
Oh, wow.
You can have birds bathing, dragonflies darting
It's
around.
like a little oasis.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got sustainability, soil, water. Now, what about those invasive plants? They always seem to be trying to take over my garden.
Yes, invasive species. They can be a real
They're
pain.
like the uninvited guests that never leave.
Exactly. Like, I've had my own battles with these things.
Really?
Oh, yeah. In my garden, I mean, they crowd out the native plants. They disrupt that balance,
Yeah.
So it's our job to get rid of them.
So why are they so bad? Like, what makes them such a problem?
Well, they're really good at competing for resources. Like
Okay.
sunlight, water, nutrients, and they just grow so aggressively that it really diminishes the biodiversity,
Okay.
and that impacts the whole food web
Oh, wow.
from the insects to the birds.
So they're kind of like bullies in the garden world?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, have you encountered, I don't know, Japanese honeysuckle or garlic mustard?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those are some common ones, especially if you're, kind of in this area.
Right,
It can
right.
be a real nuisance.
Duly noted.
So we got to get rid of them.
All right, so that was number four, get rid of the invasives.
Right.
What's the fifth and final pillar?
Well, this is where it all comes together, planting more natives.
Okay.
This is where the magic happens, creating that haven for biodiversity.
You know, ensuring that thriving ecosystem.
And native plants are like the VIPs of this whole thing.
Yes.
They've evolved alongside our local wildlife. They're the ultimate hosts.
Exactly.
They got the food, the shelter, the nesting sites.
No, it's like setting the table for a biodiversity feast.
I love that. Our gardens can be these vital links in the web of life.
Absolutely.
I'm so ready to start planting. But how do we know which plants are right for our specific ecoregion?
Ooh, that's a great question. And that's what we're going to talk about next.
Perfect. Stay tuned, everybody.
Don't go away.
Yeah.
So choosing the right plants for your ecoregion, it's like solving a puzzle.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, a fen ecological puzzle.
I'm ready. Give me my detective hat.
Yeah.
What are the clues? What are we looking for?
Okay, so first you got to just observe your garden.
Okay.
Throughout the day, how much sunlight are different areas getting? What kind of soil do you have?
Okay.
Is it sandy? Is it clay-like? You know,
yeah.
Figure that out. So it's all about understanding like the foundation of what we're working with.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. And don't forget to look around your neighborhood. You know, those little pockets of nature that haven't been touched that can give you really good clues about what naturally thrives in your area.
Yeah, it's like those little wild spaces that always seem to do so well without us interfering.
They're like little textbooks, you know?
Yeah.
And if you're more of a digital person, you know, the Native Plant Trust, they have this great tool. It's called the Garden Plant Finder.
Ooh.
So you can go online and put in like your zip code, you know, the conditions in your garden.
Okay.
And it'll give you like a curated list of native plants that will do well.
Wow, that sounds super helpful.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So, okay, we understand our ecoregion. Mm-hmm. We've got this list of plants.
Yes.
How do we pick? Like what are we looking for in terms of... like, what's going to actually thrive?
Well, you got to think about the needs of each plant and match them to what you've got going on in your garden.
Oh.
So, for example, if you have, like, a shady spot with moist soil, you might think about ferns, woodland wildflowers.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some shade-loving shrubs.
Okay.
But if you've got a sunny spot with well-drained soil, then you go for your prairie grasses, your coneflowers, maybe some drought-tolerant succulents.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, like matching the plant's preferences to what we've already got.
Right. You're working with nature, not against it.
Okay. So we've got the plants figured out.
Yeah.
Now, what about the beneficial insects?
Ah, yes. Our little helpers.
Yes. Army of garden helpers.
So those beneficial insects, attracting them is like inviting a whole ecosystem of pest control and pollination power into your garden.
Ooh, that sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah.
How do we do that? Like, what are some things we can do?
Well, first of all, diversity is key.
Okay.
Think of your garden like a marketplace. You know, you want to offer a wide variety of goods to attract all sorts of customers.
I like that.
So that means planting a mix of native flowers that bloom at different times throughout the season.
So it's like a year-round buffet.
Exactly. A year-round buffet for our beneficial insect friends.
Love it.
And don't forget about shelter. You know, they need places to live too.
Oh.
So leaving some leaf litter.
Oh.
Creating brush piles, even like a simple rock pile, that can be a haven for them to overwinter.
So what might be considered messy in a traditional garden is actually really good in an ecological garden.
Exactly. Embrace the messiness, you know?
Yeah.
Let things be a little wild, you know, those leaves, twigs, branches.
Yeah.
They're all resources.
So we're shifting our perspective on that a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm getting rid of the leaf blower.
Good.
Now, what about the pests, though?
Huh.
The insects that we don't want.
Right.
How do we handle those?
Okay, so remember, in an ecological garden, we're aiming for balance.
Okay.
Not eradicate.
So not like waging war on every single insect?
No. A certain level of pests is actually normal.
Okay.
It's a sign of a healthy ecosystem.
Because they're food for the good guys.
Exactly. It's all about creating that self-regulating system.
Okay.
You know, like predator and prey, pollinator and plant. It's a delicate dance.
That's a good way to put it.
But if you do notice a particular pest getting out of control, there are definitely some natural methods you can try.
Okay.
You know, companion planting.
Oh, yeah, like marigolds.
Yeah. Planting things together that either deter pests or attract their predators.
Like basil to keep away flies.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like using nature's own defense mechanisms.
So we can also, like, we can buy ladybugs?
Yes. You can release beneficial insects.
Lace wings?
Yeah, ladybugs, lace wings, they're voracious predators.
I've seen those little ladybug houses Do those actually work?
They can be helpful, especially if you're having a problem in a specific spot.
Okay.
But the key is to create a habitat that attracts them naturally.
Right. So we're not just like putting a Band-Aid on it.
Exactly. You're creating a healthy foundation.
Okay. So what about fertilizing our plants?
Okay. So ideally, we want to let the soil do the work.
Right. Like feeding that soil ecosystem.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Remember all those microorganisms? Those are our fertilizer factories.
Right. Okay.
So we got to give them the fuel they need.
Which is
compost.
Compost.
Yes, it's the best fuel for our little microbial engines.
Okay, I've been wanting to start composting, but it always seems so complicated.
No, it's not that bad. You can start with a simple bin, you know?
Okay.
Or even just a pile on the corner.
All right.
It's like a culinary adventure, you know?
Oh.
So you've got your leaves, your kitchen scraps.
Okay.
Grass clippings, all that yard waste, that's gold.
Yeah, we're turning waste into treasure.
Exactly. It's a win-win.
Okay, so now I want to talk about growing food.
Yes.
Because you mentioned that ecological principles can actually make it easier.
Yes.
And increase our yields.
It's true. It's true. They go hand in hand.
All right. So how do we create, like, what are some of those tips for creating a thriving ecological food garden?
Well, one of the most effective techniques is dense planting.
Dense planting. So we're really packing those plants in?
Yeah. It may seem counterintuitive.
Yeah.
But it actually increases yield.
Wait, how does that work? More plants and less space?
So when they're closer together, they create like a living mulch.
Wow.
Which shades the soil.
Okay.
Keeps it cool and moist, reduces weeds. And the close proximity, it encourages them to grow up.
What?
So you get taller plants, more production.
So it's like a little jungle of food.
Yeah, a delicious jungle.
I love that. Less weeding, less watering, more food.
Exactly.
What else? What other tricks do you have?
Okay, so minimize digging.
Hold on. Doesn't digging help aerate the soil?
So traditional tilling, like really turning the soil over,
right,
can actually harm those microorganisms and lead to compaction.
So we want to avoid that.
As much as possible, yeah. You know.
No dig. So we're going no dig.
Raised beds or just plant directly into undisturbed soil.
Okay.
And of course, you know, our friend, compost.
Of course, compost.
You got to top dress those beds with compost.
All right. So compost, no dig, dense planting.
And let some plants go to seed.
Oh, okay.
You know, encourage self-sowing.
Oh, so they come back on their own.
Exactly. Nature's doing the work for you.
I like that. Less work for me.
Choose a variety of crops that mature at different times so you have a continuous harvest.
Oh, yeah. So we're always getting something fresh from the garden.
Exactly.
So we've covered a lot, but I'm still a little worried about the invasive species.
Right, right.
Like, what if they come back?
So a healthy garden is a strong defense.
Okay.
So those native plants, they're less likely to be outcompeted if they're flourishing.
Right, because they're strong.
But you got to be vigilant.
Okay.
Know your enemy.
Yeah.
Familiarize yourself with what grows in your area.
Okay.
So you can spot them and remove them before they spread.
Early detection. So it's like weeding with a purpose.
Yes, exactly. Hand pulling is often the best method.
Okay.
Especially for small infestations.
Okay.
For bigger ones, you might need to cut or dig them out.
Right.
But make sure you dispose of them properly.
Oh, okay.
You know, bag them for the landfill or burn them if you can.
So we're talking prevention, early detection.
Yes.
Swift action.
Exactly.
This has been so amazing.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Like, I'm already, my mind is blown. I'm like ready to go out and transform my garden.
It's exciting stuff.
It is. Now, I'm curious, what about you? Like, how did you get into ecological gardening?
Well, you know, for me, it was this, I started to really become aware of how interconnected everything is. You know, it was a shift in perspective.
I
stopped seeing my garden as like this separate thing and started seeing it as part of something bigger.
Like expanding the boundaries of the garden.
Exactly. And, you know, what's been so rewarding is just seeing all the life that it attracts,
right,
from the insects to the birds. It's just incredible. And the beauty is anyone can do it.
Right. It doesn't matter how much space you have.
Exactly.
Even a tiny balcony can make a difference.
Every little bit counts.
So this has been an incredible deep dive.
Yeah.
We've learned so much.
It's been fun.
It has. And I think it's a good time to maybe recap some of those key takeaways.
Okay, yeah. Let's do that.
So remember those five pillars of ecological gardening?
Yes.
Sustainable practices, soil health, water-wise gardening, removing those invasive species, and planting more natives.
Yes. Those are the cornerstones.
And remember to choose those plants that are right for your specific ecoregion.
Yes.
And create that welcoming habitat for all those beneficial insects. Give them food, shelter, nesting sites.
It's all about providing for them.
Yeah. And a healthy garden is a strong defense against those invasive species.
Right.
So stay vigilant, learn what they look like, and take action right away.
Exactly.
But most importantly, have fun with it.
Yeah.
Experiment. You know, enjoy the process.
It's a journey. It's a journey.
It is a journey.
It is.
It's amazing, right? Like, we've covered so much, but it feels like we're just getting started.
Yeah, there's always more to learn.
There is, but I'm already so excited to, like, go out there and put all this into practice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the things that's so cool about ecological gardening is that it really makes us rethink our whole relationship with nature.
Yeah, it's like we're letting go of that need to control everything.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we're working with it.
Exactly. We're moving from domination to partnership.
Yeah, it's like we're remembering that we're not separate from nature.
Right. We're part of it.
And when we garden that way, everybody wins, you know.
Mm.
Our gardens, ourselves, the planet, it's like a win-win-win.
Absolutely. And, you know, anyone can do this.
Right. Doesn't matter how much space you have.
Doesn't matter if you have a big yard or a tiny balcony.
Like, even a little window box can make a difference.
Every little bit counts.
Imagine if every garden, every balcony was like this little haven for biodiversity.
Yeah, it'd be incredible.
Like, we could create this whole network of interconnected ecosystems.
A tapestry of life.
Yeah, and we all have the power to contribute to that.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It is. So before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with a question.
Okay, I'm listening.
What if our gardens could be more than just beautiful places?
Mm-hmm.
What if they could be these, like, vital havens for biodiversity?
Yeah.
You know, playing a crucial role in the health of our planet.
Wow, that's a powerful thought.
It is. It makes you realize that even our small actions can have a big impact.
They really can.
So when we're out there gardening, we're not just tending plants.
Mm-hmm.
We're nurturing a whole web of life.
We're creating a better future for all of us.
Well said. Thank you so much for joining us on this ecological gardening journey.
Yeah, it's been fun.
We hope you learned a lot and feel inspired to go out there and create your own little piece of paradise.
Happy gardening, everyone.
Thanks for listening, everybody.